This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 6, Book 73, entitled Events Leading Up to a Celebration. It's late evening now, a clear, wintry California evening. And here in Seacliff, San Francisco, the streets are hushed and empty, the windows darkened, the curtains drawn. But there's a cheerful fire still burning in the fireplace in Henry Barber's library, and the head of the House of Barber is sitting in his favorite chair with a big book on his knee, deeply absorbed. Fanny, his wife, is thumbing through a garden magazine. They've forgotten how late it is.
Why, Henry, it's 11:30.
Hmm?
I say it's way past bedtime, Henry.
Yes.
Now, if you're tired tomorrow, you'll be grumpy.
Yes, yes, Fanny, of all the nonsensical bullshit.
What in the world are you reading, anyway?
No.
Sitting there muttering. You're talking to yourself, Henry. Do you realize that?
Fanny, you would think, wouldn't you, that in a book of quotations listing everything that has been said about age, you'd think that somebody sometime would have made a cheerful remark, eh? Wouldn't you think so?
A cheerful remark? About old age, Henry?
Page after page of this sort of nonsense. Now listen to this. I am in the prime of senility.
What?
Yeah, prime of senility. 14 pages of that kind of mishmash. Yeah, listen to this one. Old trees have withered tops. And this. To an old cat, give a tender mouse. Well, I've got my own teeth. They don't need to worry about that.
That book disturbs you so. How do you read it? Look at this picture in the magazine, Henry. Look. Here.
Yeah?
See? A garden wedding. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh.
And isn't she the loveliest bride?
Yeah, well, those are just ordinary red ramblers.
What?
I say, those are just ordinary rambler roses.
I wasn't talking about the roses, Henry. I was thinking how nice it would be to have a garden wedding if Paul and Christine get married in the spring.
Huh?
We could have a professional photographer come and get some color pictures like this for ourselves.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to suggest it. When I meet Christine, I'm going to tell her how lovely our garden is in the spring.
Now, don't go trying to manage things, Fanny.
I'm not trying to manage anything, goodness. I just wanted to know we're interested. There isn't anything in the world quite so exciting as a wedding.
Oh, my solemn sacred word. Look at that clock.
Hmm?
It's after 11:30.
Well, what have I been telling you?
Huh?
You've had your nose buried in that book for over an hour. I've been telling it's way past bedtime.
Yeah. Clifford hasn't come in yet. Paul? Why does everybody have to go wandering about in the evening? Where do they go, anyway? Well, here we are, warm and snug with a cozy fire.
Well, Clifford took Claudia to the movies, I think.
Movies.
Somebody came in?
Huh?
Paul!
Hi there. You still up?
Hi.
Why, it's Clifford and Claudia. Well, how nice. Hello.
We saw the light still on in here. What are you two doing up?
Oh, come in. Come in.
Mom, Dad.
This is splendid. Yes, take your coat off, my dear.
Well, I can only stay a minute. Is everything all right?
Yeah, what's the big idea?
Terribly late for you two, isn't it?
Well, your father got interested in a book. Oh, isn't this nice, Henry? Let's all sit down a few minutes. I don't feel a bit tired now that you're here. How was the picture, Claudia?
Oh, it was so wonderful, Mom. I forgot all my worries. Had a perfectly swell time. Did I thank you, Cliff? Oh, gosh, I guess I didn't.
Well, I consider myself thanked. Hey, Dad, what's this? What are you reading? To an old cat, give a tender mouse.
What?
What'd you mark this one for? Listen to this, Claude, by Oscar Wilde. My experience is that as soon as people are old enough to know better, they don't know anything at all.
Well, what's going on here? Looks like a party.
Oh,
I didn't hear you come in.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Claude.
Hi. Cliff and I have been to the movies, and he popped me in to say hello.
Paul, have you been at the airport all this time?
Emma, do you mind a cold nose?
Well, what were you doing at your office this late at night? You were there all day Sunday and Saturday afternoon. You look tired, Paul.
Now, Fanny, when a man is about to get married, his business affairs loom up with considerable new importance. Hey, my boy? You remember, Fanny, when you said yes to me, you recall what I did? I rolled up my sleeves, too. Yes, it is. I went to work then.
Paul, I hear Christine had to leave town for a couple of days.
A few days. Say, your birthday is day after tomorrow, isn't it, Dad?
Yeah, too much fuss is made about birthdays.
Oh, there ought to be a little fuss about a 75th birthday.
Nonsense, I'll be one day older. No occasion for celebration. Anybody can get to be a day older.
Oh, what's the plan, Mom?
Well, it's going to be a buffet supper with everything your father likes best. And all his favorite people are coming, too. Judge Hunter, Dr. Thompson.
Thompson?
Well, I've invited him, Henry.
Nobody told me you were going to have that pill peddler. When he realizes I'm 75 years old, he'll want to put me through that GI series examination again. Yes, it'll cost me $95. Oh, he's got a new diet now. Oh, yes. You go in for a little checkup on your blood pressure, and they strap you down and give you an electrocardiograph and barium and x-rays and send you a bill.
Henry, I'm trying to tell about the plans for the party.
Party, turmoil and confusion.
Suppose we just ignore his birthday.
Yes, all just forget it.
You don't see Fred Thompson telling the world when he has a birthday, or Judge Hunter either. Why, they just go about their business.
Cliff?
Hey, what's so funny?
Oh, this book Dad's been reading.
What's the name of it, Dad?
Oh, it's just a book of quotations.
He happened upon the old age section in there. It fascinated him.
Fanny, nothing of the sort. Paul, there are 14 pages of quotations. Everything that notables have said about age. And do you know what I found? Not one bright remark in the whole book. Not one. To an old cat, give a tender mouse. Covering good paper with morbid, depressing, weak-willy melancholia. Fanny, you can give that book to the Goodwill truck the next time they come around.
Cliff, what have you found in there?
Oh, wonderful. Listen to this one. It's from a letter written by some old gent back in 1864. He says, well, it's only funny when you picture Dad looking through this for something gay.
Well, read it to us.
This poor old guy. He ends his letter with, I am nearly blind and totally deaf. My son Charles undresses me, and I do not give any trouble. I dine on soup.
Well, I don't know why he kept on reading it. Muttering to himself, it's upset him all evening long.
I wanted a cheerful quotation, Fanny. Yes, so if in the course of this ridiculous birthday celebration some enthusiast proposes a toast, I wanted a bright, cheerful, jolly response, that's all.
May we interrupt the show at this point to bring you a special announcement from Paul Barber. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Barton. Last spring, when one man's family was without a sponsor, almost 100,000 of our friends flooded us with letters declaring their sincere interest in the Barber family and the promise that they would gladly give their loyalty to any new product that would sponsor the show. Well, that showing of letters last spring has paid off. One man's family, beginning next Sunday, will be sponsored by the Miles Laboratories, the makers of many nationally known household drug products. We're not going to reveal what particular product we'll be presenting until next Sunday. However, we do want you to know that our sponsorship by Miles Laboratories is a direct result of the loyalty and graciousness and generosity of one man's family's listeners. And because of this, our new sponsor is actually your sponsor. Your letters convinced our friends at Miles Laboratories that one man's family's audience represents the heart of America, the family life of America. And they want the people who are friendly to the Barber family to be friendly to Miles Laboratories. So, it's a three-way marriage. One man's family, the American family, and Miles Laboratories. And if you will share the loyalty you have for one man's family with our new sponsor, we can assure you of many years of happy association. Be listening next Sunday. Thank you.
It is almost midnight at the Jack Barber house, too. Jack and Betty are in bed, but Jack is wakeful.
Twisting, Jack. Every time I get to sleep, you wake me up.
Oh, gosh, Betty, I itch.
You're not supposed to scratch with chicken pox. You might get an infection.
Well, I wasn't scratching exactly. Just kind of rubbing a couple of spots.
You got awfully impatient with Sharon Ann when she was getting over her chicken pox. Started to scratch?
Well, it hits an adult a lot harder. Don't you remember Dr. Thompson saying how much worse my case was than Sharon Ann's?
Certainly has been. You've been twice the trouble she was.
Well, gosh sakes, it's pretty tough for a grown man to be cooped up in one room the way I have.
I know, but you can get out tomorrow. Now, let's get back to sleep, Jack. Must be almost midnight.
Betty? Hmm? You think I ought to take something? I don't feel like I can get to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you meant I should or I shouldn't. Betty? Betty, you asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I'll go to sleep, Jack.
I wish I could drop off the way you do.
Well, I get up at 6 o'clock with the children. You can sleep in the morning and all afternoon as far as that goes.
I can't help it if I'm stuck up here in this bedroom with a chicken pox, can't I? Think I've enjoyed being a prisoner like this? It's my fault I haven't been able to get up and get down to the office. Gosh, say.
Nobody said it was your fault. I know it's been trying. It's been hard on everybody. But it would have been worse if all the children had come down with it. Lucky it stopped with you and Sharon Ann.
Okay. Night.
Hmm?
Sorry.
No.
Kiss me goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
might be.
Is that you, Sherry?
What are you doing up? Yes. Are you going back and getting your bed? You'll be dead making your room. Go on before you wake Mama.
Are you asleep, Mommy?
Go on, Sherry. Don't make me speak to you again.
Talking to Mommy.
Oh, brother.
Sharon Ann, you want to catch your death of cold?
Can't I get a drink of water in your bathroom?
You must come in here to get a drink.
I'd wake my room up if I got it in my room.
All right. Daddy will get you a drink.
Yes.
Then you ought to get her out of me.
Well, I'll get her.
No, I'm up now. I'll get it. Where's my robe?
You know what?
Oh, I got it. I wish it's going to be one of those nights when you don't get me.
Ow! What's the matter?
Ripped over this
goddamn
stool.
Oh, I told you to turn on the light.
Place the stool out in the middle of the room.
Did Daddy hurt himself?
You got your slippers on?
Yes.
You cold?
No. Can I get in bed with you?
No. When you get your drink, you go back to your own bed. Late, almost 12 o'clock.
Please, Mommy, just till my feet get warm.
But you said you weren't cold.
I am now. Please, just for a little while.
All right. Come on. Can you see?
Mm-hmm. There. Oh, I like your bed, Mommy.
I don't understand.
Mom,
that works.
Oh! Jack, why don't you turn on a light?
I am going to turn it.
Did Daddy spill my water?
I don't know. Wait a minute, Jack. Turn on this reading lamp.
Oh, that light is right in my eye.
Get water on my good chair, Jack.
Just on the carpet. I'll mop it up.
There's a dry washcloth in the bathroom. We'll do that.
What did Daddy say?
I don't want you to get up like this in the night again, you hear?
Wasn't that funny when I hit his toe?
You warm now?
Yes. Your bed is much warmer than mine. Can't I stay here tonight?
Didn't you have your drink of water? You have to get back to your own bed.
Just this once, Mommy. If you let me stay this time, I'll never ask again. I promise.
Still all
wrong.
It's been to be up.
Oh, but Grandpa's and Grandma's money?
Mm-hmm.
Water's all soaked in.
Well, it won't hurt anything, I guess. Water. Why don't you get Sharon Ann's drink so she can get back to bed?
You can't do everything at once. Don't you want me to mop this up?
You can't mop it up if it's all soaked in.
I know, but you told
Jack. Me. Huh? You know what we promised ourselves the other day about crawling in front of the children.
Oh,
dear. I'll go get that. It isn't nice of Daddy to talk that way, is it?
Never mind.
I know, but he talks mean.
He hasn't talked mean, darling. He's a nice guy. He's tired, he's been sick.
But he's all in now. I had the chicken pox, too, and I wasn't mean, was I?
You're a very good girl.
But Daddy wasn't, was he?
That's enough of that. Here comes your daddy with your nice drink of water.
All right, young lady, here you are. Come on, sit up.
Thank you for getting my water, Daddy.
Okay, here, drink it. Is that all you want? All this hassle for two drops? You weren't thirsty at all.
Yes, I was.
All right, give me a kiss now and get to bed.
Oh, can't I stay?
Lift her down, Jack.
Let me give you a kiss first.
Good night.
Night, Mommy.
Pecan, you're getting so heavy. Got a kiss for me, too?
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Night, Daddy.
There you are. Off you go to bed. Scoot.
She got her slippers on?
Yes. Night, Daddy and Mommy.
Good night. Close the door.
What a production. I feel like I've been shoveling coal for about 8 hours.
Oh, Sharon, Ann, what do you want now?
Night, Mommy.
Good night. Now close that door and get to bed this instant. What in the world gets into children anyway?
Betty.
What?
Remember what the book says about losing our temper with the young ones.
I know, but it's so hard not to sometimes.
That's what I keep telling you, honey.
Good night, darling.
Good night, Betty, dear.
And along an empty street, three blocks down and two blocks over, Henry Barber's grandson, Pinky, turns the corner, tiptoes up the steps, and quietly lets himself in, surprised to find his mother knitting under the reading lamp in the living room.
Gosh, Mom, you weren't waiting up for me, were you?
Be quiet, Pinky. Everybody's asleep.
I have a key, you know. Gosh, sometimes you must forget I'm almost 18 years old.
How was the party?
It was a cinch.
What?
Well, I was kind of scared when I went over there, but shucks. Why, they were just a bunch of ordinary guys.
What do they do at rushing parties these days, anyhow?
Hmm? Oh, fool around.
Fool around doing what?
Oh, well, they had sound movies for one thing.
That's so?
Right in the living room, Mom. That's what we ought to have here. We could knock a hole in the library wall for the projector and put a big screen up there. It's a big help when you're entertaining.
We don't do that much entertaining, Pinky.
I know, but when Hank and I both get in college, we may want to ask the guys over.
You'll be lucky if we can pay the tuition. Let's not talk about movie projectors. Why wasn't Hank invited to this rushing thing tonight?
Ah, you know Hank.
Hmm?
Besides, he says he's going to California. These were Stanford guys.
What do you mean, ah, you know Hank? Just what does that mean?
Hmm? Oh, Hank's okay. But you know yourself. He just kind of grubs along. Doesn't get into things. He doesn't get around where people can notice him.
He gets the marks, though. He does his homework and gets A's, and people can depend on him. When he says he'll be back at 11 o'clock, he's back at 11 o'clock.
You were waiting up for me.
No, I'm just knitting. I'm trying to finish this dress. By the way, did you pledge or whatever it is?
Mom, they were just looking us over. That's what a rushing party is. To kind of examine the prospects, see? Anyway, I think I'd hold out.
Hold out? For what?
They did ask me. I wouldn't pledge now.
Why not?
That outfit. There are some pretty high-class fraternities at Stanford, you know. I'm not going to grab at the first one that comes along. Well, give them all the once-over.
Honestly, Pinky, sometimes I just shudder for you.
Huh? Why?
Haven't you any humility at all?
What have I got to be humble about?
Go on to bed.
Huh?
Good night, Pinky.
You sore about something, Mom?
Pride goeth before a fall. Go on to bed and ask the good Lord in your prayers to make you a little bit more humble.
Lately, you just kind of keep riding me, Mom.
I'm worried about you, Pinky.
What are you worried about? I get along great, just fine. You don't need to worry about the tuition money either, because I'll make some next summer.
Oh?
I'll have 3 whole months. I won't putter around mowing lawns like Hank. I'll make some dough. Won't you believe it? You watch me, Mom.
Did you get your grandfather a birthday present?
Huh?
His birthday's almost here, you know. Hank got him one, and Margaret, and Dan and I. Did you?
Well...
Did you forget it?
No, I...
You what?
I'm kind of broke just now.
You'll get the money.
Well, sure.
When?
Well, tomorrow.
You wouldn't stoop to mow a lawn or sweep a driveway. How do you plan to do it?
Dan or Uncle Paul.
You'd borrow the money, is that it? Big talk, but no money.
I'll make some Saturday and pay it back.
Just kiss me goodnight and go to bed. Go on. Sometimes you're just about as exasperating as any boy I ever knew. Come here. Now off with you.
Okay. Say, how old will Grandfather be anyway?
He'll be 75 years old, Pinky. 75 years old. We want to make it a very nice day for him.
90 years and 10. Hey, he's 5 years over the mark already.
Pinky, don't say such things.
Say, when he settled that dough on you and Uncle Cliff and Uncle Paul and Claudia and Jack, well, did he say anything about his grandchildren?
Pinky...
I suppose he'll kind of take care of us in his will, won't he?
William Morton Herbert Murray.
I was only thinking about inheritance taxes. They're so doggone high nowadays.
Why, Pinky.
I didn't mean anything. I just try to be practical.
Pinky, go to bed.
Mom, please don't misunderstand me.
Tomorrow night, William, Dan, and I are going to have a long talk with you.
Well, I'd just as soon sit around and talk now. I'm not tired. Why, coming home, I almost stopped in to say hello to Grandfather. They were still up.
I wonder what could be keeping them up so late. It's way past their bedtime. They're usually sound asleep long before bedtime. Well, I think I'd better be getting along home. We've kept Mom and Dad up way past their bedtime.
Nothing of the sort. I tried to get your father to bed 2 hours ago. He had his nose stuck in that old book of quotations. Now I feel wide awake.
Dad doesn't look like he can hold out much longer, though.
I think you're right, Cliff. I saw him nodding there a little bit ago.
I think I'll go up to bed if you'll excuse me. Come along, Fanny.
All right, Henry.
I amuse you?
Sometimes, yes.
I wasn't aware that I'd been particularly humorous.
I know, that's when you're the funniest.
If someone would be good enough to enlighten me, I'd be very glad to join in the hilarity.
Now, nothing to get on your high horse about. Just struck me funny the way you said, come on, Fanny. As if you were speaking to a little puppy dog.
Good night, Claudia, will you?
Good night, Dad. Sleep late in the morning so you'll have plenty of rest. You too, Mom. Good night.
Hey, Mom.
Good night. I'll drop by tomorrow sometime.
Yes, yes. Good night. Come along, Fanny.
Henry, what did I just get through telling you about that come along thing? Oh, aren't they the sweetest couple that ever was?
Mom bouncing along after Dad.
They know each other pretty well after all these years, don't they?
Oh, they've been so wonderful together. No wonder Dad hasn't any patience with divorce.
Yeah. It's hard to believe he'll be 75 in a couple of days. That's getting up there, isn't it?
Doesn't seem a bit different than he did 10 years ago to me.
No. For a while there, I thought Mom was slipping a little, but she always snaps out of it. She's more chipper than she's been for a long time. Hey, Claude. Claude, what's the matter?
Nothing.
And your eyes are all filled with tears. Did I say something?
Oh, no, really, Cliff. I'm so silly of me.
Well, it's not silly at all.
I don't seem to have a handkerchief.
Here. Here's a nice big one.
Oh, thanks.
Gee, I'm sorry, fella, if I said anything to upset you.
Oh, you didn't. I don't know what's wrong with me lately. The least little thing seems to set me off.
Well, you're worried about Nikki. That's a lot of it, don't you think?
Sure, sure, that's it.
Of course, I know that. I try not to show it around the folks, but I'm really beginning to feel a little desperate. If I don't get some word tomorrow, I'll just have to do something about it.
What do you mean, Claude?
Well, I've just about made up my mind to fly over there. I haven't said a word about it to Joan or anybody, but I just feel that if anything's wrong, I belong over there with Nikki. Don't you think so, Paul?
Well, I understand how you must feel, all right, but I think there's some perfectly logical reason for Nikki's silence. I can't convince myself that if there's anything wrong, you wouldn't have had some word.
Oh, sure.
I keep telling myself that. And when I'm with somebody like this, it isn't so bad. It gets really rugged sometimes at night. My imagination starts working, and it's awful. I even find myself thinking he's run off with another woman.
Oh, hey, Nikki, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, I know it's stupid, but you know how your thoughts can run away with you at night.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy for you, Claude. We all know that. This long separation is enough to get anybody down.
What do you think about my going over?
Well,
I could take Penny with me. Joan could come over here. She'd love being with you again, Paul. If you don't think she'd interfere now that you're making plans to get married and all. Of course, I won't breathe a word of any of this until after Dad's birthday. I wouldn't put a damper on that for the world.
Well, I'll bet your door will be all cleared up by then. You wait and see.
Probably will. Maybe I'll get a big fat letter tomorrow.
That's a baby.
Oh, here I've been going on all about myself, and the big important thing in the family is you and Christine, Paul. What's this about her going out of town? I know I asked you earlier, and we got off the subject somehow. Have you set a definite date?
No, not yet.
Didn't she leave rather suddenly?
Yes, it was a little sudden.
Rex go with her?
Yeah.
I thought their house had a sort of closed-up look the last couple of days when I drove by there. The last time I saw Rex, he looked sort of thin and drawn. This was a week or so ago, I guess. I was driving by, and he was standing in the front yard. Has he been sick or anything?
No, not that I know of.
Probably my imagination. I didn't get a very good look at him.
Well, he never was what you'd call fat, Claude. Always had a kind of a cadaverous look.
Oh, I know that. I just thought he looked a little more sunken in the cheeks than usual, that's all. Well, I've been rattling on here at a great rate. I've got to get home.
And I'm just the guy who'll see that you get there. Besides, 6 blocks over and 6 blocks back, boom, 5 minutes.
Oh, what a shame to drag you out at this time of night.
What do you mean? I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, but tomorrow morning...
Look, I'm the guy with no job. The mornings mean nothing to me. You really want to shove off?
I think I'd better. Joan might worry.
I'll drop by tomorrow, Claude. If you haven't had any word, we can talk some more about your plans, huh?
Oh, that'd be wonderful, Paul, if you can find the time.
Madam, I shall make time. Probably after dinner,
You want to come and eat with us? Why don't you both come?
I can't. Got a date.
Well, Paul won't have a date with Christine out of town. Kind of unusual for you to be free in the evenings, isn't it, Paul?
Afraid it is.
Oh, don't look so sad. I wasn't criticizing you.
You were playing on an old theme that Paul got pretty sick of around here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of that.
And you do know how happy we all are for you, don't you? As soon as Christine gets back, we're planning all sorts of festivities. Well, are you coming to dinner tomorrow? You didn't say.
Well, suppose I call you from the airport, okay?
Good.
Hey, I've been holding this coat for an hour. Put it on, baby. Put it on.
Thank you. Well, good night, Paul.
Good night, Claude. I'll see you tomorrow.
That'll be just wonderful.
Be seeing you, son.
Yeah. So long, Cliff. Hello. Long distance? This is Paul Barber. About an hour ago, I put in a call for Dallas, Texas. No, I wasn't at this number then. No, I... What? Oh, all right. Hello. Yes, is this the operator I talked to from the airport on my call to Mrs. Christine Abbott in Dallas, Texas? Yes. What? You weren't able to locate her? I see. No, I wish you'd keep the call alive. Yes. That's right. If you reach or call me, no matter what time it is. What? Oh, Seacliff 66011. Yes. I'll be waiting here all night. Thank you.
Just heard Chapter 6, Book 73 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 7, entitled A Day for Jubilation, will come to you next week at this same time. What's on NBC today? For comedy, there's none better than the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. And for mystery, listen to the best today on The Adventures of Sam Spade. Two great shows for Sunday that add up to 1 hour of top entertainment. Phil Harris and Alice Faye, followed by The Adventures of Sam Spade. Hear them both today on NBC. Coming up, it's the Quiz Kids. Stay tuned to NBC.